I don't think this one's the one that's as much interest to him anyway as the next one. Although, to me, this is fairly interesting.
Yeah, it is.
It's got a lot of potential. All right. Yeah. Okay. Good morning. I guess it's about 9:05 now. And on September 14, 2010, the North Dakota Public Service Commission meeting in a work session with their staff to discuss an AML case, AM 10-37, which is a change order request by the contractor in the Beekler-Belva AML project, and a lot of things that sort of surround that. So Tony and Brian and Kevin are all here along with staff members from AML, so I'll turn it over to Jim Deitch to sort of give us an update on the situation.
Okay, well, as you were, that we awarded the contract for this back for this the Beekler-Belva project back in early May to Smith Contracting out of Butte, Montana. The notice proceed on the contract was the notice proceed on the project was given May 20th, and work really didn't get started until around the 1st of June. Then a very slow start, only a few workers from Smith, and eventually getting equipment moved into the site. I guess moved some in from Montana and some that they leased as well. June was also real rainy, wet, and there may have been a few delays at the project site because of that, some lost time. But overall, they were just slow getting equipment and men on site. We initially sent them a letter in the end of June with our concerns about the slow progress and asked for a revised schedule. They responded, and things did improve in the month of July and into August. But still, they were way behind schedule. And as part of what we did starting around the 1st of July, too, was have weekly conference calls with their general manager out in Butte, Montana, just trying to get an update where things are at. And like I say, for a while, things seemed to be going a little bit better. But then towards the end of July, they admitted that they had problems there and expressed some concerns. We again then sent a letter early August, expressing those similar concerns. The meeting was set for August 20th, and in part of Smith's response, they have alleged that we misrepresented the materials that had to be moved in the general project. We call it dirt work, and that's refers to the large quantities of soil that has to be moved and that. But through it all, we just refer to it as spoil or mine spoil, and they're again not knowing the exact characteristics because of the spoil characteristics themselves based on the mining process. It is a mixture of can be from sand, loamy material, clays, sure, whatever, just a real mixture of material. Apparently, when Smith bid on this, they assumed it was more of a kind of a loose, sandy type material. As it turns out, most of it's more of a clay type material, and they have continued to make issues about the wet conditions, saying that the rains this spring had saturated things to the point where it was causing problems. But here a couple weeks ago, Mark had taken samples of that, and the actual moisture content is near optimum for moving dirt. And he's had a couple other contractors out there looking at it and saying it's good material. It's typical what we move here. So,
it's my understanding, too, when they bid, because it was a lower bid by, you know, a fair amount than the other bids, that AML staff followed up with them and said, I mean, you do understand exactly what this entails. I mean, and walk them through it, right? Because we don't just take the lowest bid. We take the lowest credible bid. Is that right? And
yes. Turn your microphone on, just make sure. Yes. Bill,
on that, both Bill and Mark called and talked to Lee Barron with Smith Contracting the day of the bid opening. I think did it independently, just looking at what they bid for the major dirt moving, saying, asking if they made a mistake or whatever. If a mistake would have been made, their bid could have been thrown out, then we could have awarded to the next lowest bidder. But
they reassured us that they knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly that their bid was accurate based on the same information every other bidder had. Yeah.
We did have a meeting with them on August 20th, and we'd also contacted their bonding company, and a representative from the bonding company was on the phone for most of that meeting on the 20th. I guess we wanted to keep them in the loop of things here, too, and hoping that they would encourage Smith to continue to perform on this. Following the meeting on the 20th, they said, well, they needed more time and money to complete the project, and they were asked to submit a revised proposal.
Excuse me.
We received that on August 25th, and in that they requested a change order to increase the price per yard for the main spoil moving from 47 cents a yard to $1.37.
Oh, my goodness.
Almost.
Which would be more expensive than any of the original bids
right. That
we received.
That's correct. They also asked for additional money for mobilizing more equipment. On September 2nd, we sent a letter back denying that request, and then, faxed that and called Mr. Barron at Smith Contracting and let him know that was on the way, and they said, well, they'd get back to us in a few days, and hadn't heard anything, so on last Wednesday, September 8th, I called David Smith to ask on the status of the project, and at that point he said, pending a conference call with their attorney and surety, that they'd probably be shutting down the project as early as last week. As it turns out, they're still working now. They still have, what Mark said, you said six people working, but
have they been distributed all the funds, or how does that money flow from us to them?
Well, that's what I was going to mention. I'm guessing the project is probably about 40% complete.
Make sure you guys.
And up to now, we've paid just under $400,000, or about a third of the contract amount for work that has been performed. And with their mobilization cost, typically once they get the equipment on. Equipment and manpower on site, we pay 80% of that. And in this case, since we felt there wasn't enough equipment there, we only paid 50% of that, what they bid for mobilization, because we didn't feel enough.
Is the manner in which the work has been done to this point such that it'll be, it's not money down the drain? In other words, that it's, a third's been paid out, it's roughly a third complete, if that makes any sense, or is it?
Yes, there are a few problems that they're leaving us with when they pull out. One of them is they failed to dewater the mine pit completely, so it's caused some mud buildup, which is going to increase the cost on a portion of about 700 foot area. But other than that, and they've got a another area is the topsoil. They stripped topsoil prior to doing the work, and they did not shape the topsoil pile to get surveyed for volume, so they haven't got paid for that. And of course, they're not completing the work, so there's no way they can respread the topsoil. But other than that, the work they have done is going to benefit us, but there are a few headaches they've left us.
I'm pretty confident, though, that they've moved the volume of dirt that we paid them for to
date. Actually, we probably a little bit short. We didn't want to overpay them.
Just seeing how things were going.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of their problem, observations that Mark, Bill, and I guess I was up there one day, too, the way they went about the operations were very inefficient. There's been a couple other contractors up there too, and just other people familiar with dirt moving, and I think that's been a lot of the problem there too. But
has this company done work for us before?
No, they haven't.
First job.
No, in checking, they've done work for Montana's AML program, and in fact, there was a project that they had, was about two-thirds completed, and they more or less walked away, but they didn't, Montana didn't go after the bond. They terminated for convenience, and in their case, they had another contractor working right nearby, and they had the other contractor come in and finish it then, so it was probably done for about the same price as mm-hmm. what Smith had bid.
Mm-hmm.
But and anyway, where things stand right now, Bill and I talked to Lee Barron with Smith yesterday. They said we should be getting a letter, probably won't be till next week, from their attorney explaining the reasons for the for their shutting down, and that, I guess we'll at that point need to respond to that, if and that probably issue some type of a notice of default, then eventually get to the point of making a claim or demand on the performance bond. We also
performance bond is how much?
The performance bond is the amount of the contract, so it's the
full
$1.25 million. Then there's also an additional payment bond that's of the same amount, the amount of the contract, that ensures that their employees and others that are owed money get paid. So
I don't know if you want to bring that up about how some of the other subcontractors and suppliers have not been paid.
Oh.
That's some things we've heard secondhand.
So is that, does the payment bond apply to the subs, or is it just to their own employees?
The payment bond applies to the employees, subcontractors, and suppliers.
Okay. So if there does become a situation where that's an issue, is it the commission acting as trustee that goes after the payment bond as well, or is it the individual subs and employees that try to get payment through that, or do we know? Or
well, you know, in visiting...
Because we require the both types of bonds, right?
You know, in talking with the surety, assuming that they would side with us and saying that you know, basically Smith defaulted, they're the ones at fault on this, they would most likely come in and take over the project as the contractor themselves, where they would hire somebody else out. And I'm assuming any outstanding bills that Smith has, that they would pay those too, whether it's for fuel or I think we heard that they owed a couple different local contractors money for moving equipment out to the site.
They've actually called me and I talked to one is JS Trucking out of Minocqua, and they owe them $15,000, and Morlock Heavy Hauling, they owe them $4,000. They actually hauled the equipment on site back in May.
Through the process, once we, I guess, basically find Smith in default, and after, Bill, you're saying that under our standard specs, that once work stops, they have 10 days to notify us, give us an explanation, and it sounds like they'll be doing that, then we'll initiate the process, you know, to make claim or demand on the bond. That'll initiate investigation by the surety company, where they'll probably be coming out and, you know, be viewing the site, interviewing people from Smith and from us to get both sides of it. And then if they determine basically, you know, that Smith is at fault, that they couldn't perform, they said they would take over and complete the project. But that, with just the time it's going to take, wouldn't happen until next spring at the earliest. Right. So
when can we fix things up again? We can't do anything now until this all washes itself out, if you will.
Well, if we believe there's something that would be detrimental to doing the project in the future or a hazard, we could have some maintenance work done out there. We've discussed that already under a separate contract.
Okay.
Under a separate contract with a separate company?
Yes.
Yeah, we would almost, we have to go through another bid letting to do that, if most likely.
And if it's a big thing, I think it would complicate the matters.
Right, yeah.
I guess on this, at this point, if it's the potential for the surety to come in there and complete the project, I think we
let that work itself out.
We just let that.
I do, too. I know, Jim, when we talked individually, had talked about other options. Is that something, I had indicated at the time, I don't know that I'm real keen on doing anything, but letting this process play out through the bonding company, but I don't know what.
Well, for a while, I thought maybe it was a possibility if we could get them to.
As long as there's not some safety thing we're missing, and right. I agree with that, just let it run and run itself, run its course.
If we could have got Smith to complete a couple of the bigger areas of it,
right.
Then at that point, basically terminate for convenience, not go through with bond forfeiture, but that doesn't seem to be the case because Smith is pulling out now and it's not getting to that point.
Yeah.
So that's not an option. In fact, when Bill and I had talked to Smith Contracting yesterday, I think said the only way they'd be willing to do more work is if we renegotiate the price. And I don't
call the new that. It's called a new bid opening.
Yeah, and I don't recommend that at all because once we
I don't even know how. Well,
I don't think legally we could. Even if we could, you set a precedence. We'd be facing every time. It's something
right.
we certainly don't want to do. So,
yeah. So well, and I mean, hearing that this is something that had happened out in Mon, I don't know exactly the circumstances, but that there had been a terminate for failure event with AML in Montana too.
So I wonder why that didn't pop when we reviewed the company. I mean, after this is said and done, we should do something so that flags this company in North Dakota.
There is
I'm sure we'll remember.
Well, but we may not be here.
We can't do that.
But isn't there, there's another form that goes to OSM if there's a checklist, is there not? What's that called?
Yeah, the
ABS.
Yeah.
Or is there something through the NA? Forget the acronym, but the Van de Mineland Program Association. Is that sort of list contractors that have had issues?
Our National Association doesn't, as far as I know. The National Association of Van de Mineland doesn't have any contractors lists or debarred contractors or anything like that.
But
Bill's got. I thought it goes through the ABS system.
Well, ABS is applicant violator system. That's looking for contractors that may have outstanding mine-related violations rather than
performance-related
contracts.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But through state procurement, we could
sure.
take them off our list, at least for North Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, and any action by the bonding company is going to have probably more
right.
effect on their business operations than anything
for
else.
Sure.
Be done.
In fact, we
if they're in this business, they're having to be bonded everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, having a bond forfeited for a contractor
that's tough. I would think
not good for staying in business at all.
We spoke to Lee Barron. That was his biggest concern: was having to defend the bond.
I'll bet.
And there again on this, I guess until we get their letter, I guess we'll have to see where it goes. But they may be taking us to court on it too, based on the materials where they're going to continue to allege that we misrepresented that in the bid package. But
their problem is there's a whole bunch of other bidders that knew better. So it's
got eight other bidders that seem to all get it, and then follow up with them afterwards to explain it to them, and it gets tough.
Well, it just gets that it drags out everything and takes a lot of time in that too. But I guess we'll have to do what we have to do.
But as long as we agree that we're going to let this run its course, that's the big thing.
Well, let me ask with regard to that, because that is the only really issue for the moment.
Unfortunately, doesn't sound like there's a lot of bad money that's been wasted.
That's the bottom line there. That's the first consideration. The second one is the site any less safe than it was, the last several years, which is our first.
Some
in some ways. Well, see, that's an issue. That the maintenance issue is a bit of an issue.
I mean, no, we've eliminated some of the hazards.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's more safe.
It's more safe.
Okay.
The slides are somewhat unsafe right now, aren't they?
There's some material that's been banked up because they didn't dewater the pit that could slide into the pit, but unless you'd be standing on there.
Yeah. Well, that's no hazardous than the high walls at the backfield.
Right.
It's probably less hazardous.
Yeah, so
it's
the, exactly.
It'd be a smoother ride down. Is
the site marked, or will it be with, I don't know, snow fences or something like that to keep people out?
We've got some signs, and that would be a good idea, especially where they've got those trenches for dewatering.
Right.
We could put some of those around.
And I just think with deer season coming up and whatnot, and I don't know how accessible it is. But
no, I was thinking that, too. We have like 100 of those signs.
We
can
have a bunch of those signs. We need post
hazardous line area type signs.
Stay out type thing. So.
We can do that.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Okay. So basically it's, wait for their response, let the process work itself out, ensure, humans and, I guess, other safety while the process plays out. That's about all we can do.
Okay.
And we continue, obviously, to be in correspondence and monitor. The encouraging thing is that perhaps the people will have gotten their money's worth by whatever does happen.
Yeah.
So we're not backwards economically.
Yeah, no, for what we've paid, I think Mark is very confident that work was done, and it was done at the end. And done at
well, yeah, right.
Actually too cheap.
Apparently too cheap.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah, oh well.
We might have got a better deal than we should have gotten.
Well, it looks that way, but okay.
Except for the time value of money.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. Well, all right, so what can we do to push along their decision on their notice of default?
Well,
play your poker face, Jim.
Yeah, well, so apparently their attorney is tied up with something else this week, and they said they'd get the letter next week, so I guess we'll have
to. What can we do to push this forward? Is there anything we can do to, they had some completion date that we can say, listen, if this drags on, I mean, give them some time, I agree, but if this
there's
is...
There's a delay in the work, they have to...
So that's the ticker there, okay. So if they stop work and don't do something by 10 days, that's the... Okay.
Mm-hmm. That'll probably give them until week after next.
Okay.
Because they won't.
All right. You said that too.
But, I guess realistically for getting work resumed, we're looking at next spring in best scenario under pretty much any case.
Yeah. Right.
But
the sooner this process starts, who's paying whom and all this other stuff, the better it is to even put bids out for the spring. Cool.
Well, hopefully that'll be the bonding company putting that out than us. But,
but it
will create problems for us, too, because we've got another large project planned for the Columbus area next year. If we move forward with that, then have to complete this one for staff-wise. It does create problems for us. So, I guess we'll have to deal with that.
Jim, this is just maybe crazy, but when you talk about some of that stuff, it's very... it's probably impossible. But is there a way to have a contractor is there any way to bid everything, like multiple projects as almost like one project or is that just insane? That'd probably be insane. I'm just thinking about ways that I hate this idea of, for example, this Montana company example is a pretty good example of maybe sometimes why you don't want to reach out too far. It'd just be nice to have those. It's so nice in some of our countries that we have the same contractor time and time and time again. And I know you got a bid, and I know the state procurement has all kinds of clumsy rules, but.
What's the biggest defining factor that what makes a project?
Well, that's a good. See, and that's my point. If it's volume of dirt and what the cost is per, or whatever it is, that there's got. Is there some standard? I mean, we buy our computers from the same people all the time, for example.
It'd be nice to have almost like a pre-qualified list of.
Right.
That's
what
we require a two-stage procurement where they have to pre-qualify before they can put in a bid.
Yeah.
And that would be a possibility for dirt work projects, too. We just haven't done it in the past.
The grouting is a little more specialized, which is probably why that's the case.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And then they probably would get qualified. They've done projects before.
I don't
know. It doesn't really weed them out.
Sort of grasping.
And might trigger us to call references, though.
Yeah.
That's what it does with the drilling and grouting projects. We actually do call references on those.
But you had called from Montana on these before the contract?
No, I didn't. I think, Jim, you talked to John Korth a little bit about the time we were.
Yeah, I didn't talk to him until mid-June. I think it was at a meeting.
All right. Well, I think we have a course of action. It'll just keep us informed, and we'll see what happens next.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
We'll
thanks.
Work session. See you in a half hour. On the really fun one.